So after all the shenanigans of the price action yesterday, we finally closed up 7.29% in September, which officially makes yesterday's close the highest official September close since the beginning of Bitcoin, or at least since 2013 on this chart. Yesterday was also the quarterly close, and on the quarterly close, Bitcoin closed up 1.06%. 0.96%. So it was an okay quarter for Bitcoin. I guess at least it was positive. But the one token that didn't have a very good quarter was ETH. Just look at this. So whereas Bitcoin closed up around 1%, ETH was down 24.2%. Solana was up 4.19%, and Total 3 was up 1.64%. I think it's time to finally say goodbye to ETH. But the only problem is, if I'm going to sell all my ETH and get out of ETH, what am I going to put the money into? That's what I'm going to show you now. I'm going to show you why I'm giving up on ETH. And then I'm going to show you, we're going to go through the process of selecting where I should put my money that's in ETH. Because you don't want to put it into something too speculative, because then you change the risk return of your portfolio, right? And you don't want to put it into something too safe, because I'm already overexposed to Bitcoin and overexposed to Solana. So where do I put my ETH, my money from ETH? That's what we're going to be talking about today. You guys are going to be helping me. We're going to do this together, and maybe we'll even execute the trade on the show together. Let's go. Welcome back, legends. We finally closed September in the green, and we closed it up 7.29%. That's actually, pretty good after all the price action that we've got yesterday. Now we move into October, a little bit of a weak start in October, but we have history on our side here. We have history on our side here, because if you look at the historical returns for Bitcoin in October, we are expecting 20% returns in October if we just hit the average. 20% above $65,000 puts us at $13,000 up from where we are today. That takes us to a new all-time high, $75,000. That is if we just hit the averages, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, what October is going to look like. Also, as I said to you earlier, I'm done with ETH. I'm not even giving it a last chance. I don't know. The thumbnail designers can say what they want. I'm not giving ETH a last chance. I'm giving you the fact here. I'm not giving ETH another chance. I'm selling. The only question is, where do I put my proceeds from ETH? Which token do I put it into? I mean, I can put it into Bitcoin, but I've already got too much Bitcoin. I can put it into Solana, but I'm overexposed to Solana. So where do I put my ETH? And that's what we're going to be talking about. All right. So if you're not already subscribed to the channel, as I said yesterday, I mean, time's running out. Time is running out for you to subscribe. Subscribe to the channel. Smash the like button. Obliterate the like button. Congratulations to... hold on a second. To all those people who are walking around with the big packages. Remember, this is the last week, or until Friday, where you can order an amazing big package. And you can walk around your house, you can walk around the shopping mall, you can walk around the gym, and everyone will comment about the size of your package. Now, if you order a big package now, inside the big package is the new ledger, which is designed by the designer of the iPhone, which is absolutely amazing. But until Friday, you may get a second one free. Now, I spoke to someone today who got his second one free. I mean, that's like $300 or $400 free. Also, it is the safest way to store your crypto. So this is the last week. On Friday, it ends. So hurry up and order your big package. And everywhere that you go, people will talk about... You see, David J. Borto and his girlfriend said, wow, to his big package. Anyone can have a big package nowadays without having to walk around with special pumps and take tablets and stuff like that. Just order your ledger. Even you, Josh. Even you, Josh. Josh has been walking around with a big package all day. All day. Huh? Oh, he says all his life, huh? All right. Let's switch from adult mode to kiddies mode in the show. This is from this point on, kids can also watch this. All right, so let's quickly go through where we're at, because you guys tuned in for the alpha. You didn't tune into a thing. So Charles, just English. It's not become a part of the Banter fam. It's a part, because when you say a part, it means that, like, we're not together anymore. So we want you to be a part, not a part from the Banter fam. Anyway, let's talk about where we're at. So September closed good, 7.29%, best close for a September that we've ever had for Bitcoin. Q3, uneventful. We expected it to be uneventful. That's why you say sell in, man, go away, because Q3 is always uneventful, and it was uneventful this time. The one thing, though, for the stock market, we had the S&P post a green September for the first time in 5 years, which is amazing. So you finally got this, like on the stock market, you got like this massive catch up trade, S&P up for the first time in 5 years. Also, if you look at it from an election year point of view, so far, this is the best 9 months of an election year ever. So far. So we can't count our chickens before the eggs hatch. Now we have history on our side because 80% of Octobers are green. The average for October is 22.9%. 100% of election years had green October, November, and December. 100%. We shouldn't break that series now. 100% of years with a green September had a green October, a green November, and a green December. September is green this year, and it's an election year. I mean, probabilities are very, very, very much on our side. So if you want to talk specifically around probabilities, probabilities are very much on our side. Also, if you look at history, it's 163 days past the halving, which is exactly the amount of days that it took for Bitcoin to break out from its all-time high in the last halving. So if history were to repeat itself, not only do we get a good October, but we also get the breakout coming very soon. Also, if history were to repeat itself, Eric Crown says October has generally seen the low of the month early. So in the first 10 days, and then, of course, everything goes up. So what this is basically saying to you is time is not on your side. You've got about 10 days left if history were to repeat itself. For the month to put its trends, its lows in, and then we fly to the moon. Now, I'm always a believer in being well prepared. Don't leave it to the last minute because that breakout may catch you by surprise. And if that breakout catches you by surprise and it happens in the first week or 4 days or 5 days, then you've missed the boat, or you will miss the boat, and then you'll be kicking yourself. So that's what's going on. I think probabilities are for us that we're going to have the beginning of the real bull market here in October. And then we will probably also get, what people are saying, 60% of people in the US are saying that they expect equities to deliver the best returns in the fourth quarter. So if everything goes according to plan, you must. It does look like Q4 will be an amazing Q4. Also, if the fundamentals keep going according to plan, Q4 will be an amazing Q4. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the Chinese market up again today. Have a look at this. The Chinese market is up again today. Look at that. I mean, up again, another 10.31%. Trying to give you an idea of like how much this Chinese market has run. It has run 33%, and it has erased all the losses that it made since August 2023. That is how serious the Chinese are about stimulus here and about stimulating their market. Can you imagine that a market in 4 days or 5 days has gone back to where it was over a year ago? Basically erased all the losses of possibly the worst year in its history. Also, Powell is on our side because yesterday he was speaking and he basically said that they are expecting 2 further rate cuts, even though they're not in a preset course. They are expecting 2 further rate cuts. So again, I can't tell you what's going to happen, but I can tell you that the fundamentals, history is on our side, probabilities on our side, the fundamentals are on our side. And now we just need to get through the elections. I think the elections is a big thing. I don't think it's a knockout punch if Kamala wins. I think it's a knockout punch for the US, but I don't think it's a knockout punch for crypto. I think for the US, if you get Kamala for 4 years, I'm going to make a prediction that if the US gets Kamala for 4 years, I'm going to make a prediction that mental illness goes up the most it's ever been. Because when I listen to her, I want to slit my wrists. When I listen to her. So I'm making a prediction that mental illness is going to increase in the US if Kamala Harris wins. It's going to be the death blow for the US. Anyway, the other thing that happens in Q4, which is always very good. Josh, what's wrong with a like button, bro? What's wrong with it? Why is it not going up? I'm seeing 500 likes. Something is wrong, right? Just check what's wrong with it. Guys, just check what's wrong with the like button. Something's not going on there. Something's not going right there. Smash the like button if you want alpha. What we also see in Q4 usually is we usually see alt season. And this breakdown that's happened on the Bitcoin dominance looks quite good, actually. It's one of those breakdowns that keeps getting bigger and bigger, as you can see, which is good. You can even see that today, even though the price of Bitcoin is down, the dominance is actually coming down, which means that the altcoins are going better than Bitcoin. And when I look at the bubbles, I was very excited this morning when I saw like Sui was up, because I only spoke about two big altcoins yesterday. I spoke about Sui up 6.66%. It was up a lot more. And Injective, which was up a lot. I see just for the Hex and Pulse people, there's your buttons back there. I don't know why you guys are getting so excited. You know, I hid this bubble for so long. I went back just to see like, you know, how are things going there, but guys? I mean, what are we like? We're almost at, we're just recovering from year lows. Okay, maybe you guys have got a point. Anyway, very excited to see that in Q4, we actually usually get alt season. And you can kind of see when you look at the bubbles that like alt season has just started. Look at these monthly numbers on alts. Incredible, incredible months. And that is like with an alt season that looks like that. Can you imagine? I just want to show you what usually happens to alts on alt season. Because I know a lot of people haven't been here. So I think we should discuss this. So let's go here. This is what happens. This is what happens during an alt season. Okay. Do you see that? That is how the dominance drops during alt season. So you're going to expect something like that. And you are here. So can you imagine how amazing the alt season will actually be? And it usually starts in Q4. I've got to be honest. It usually starts in Q4. As this tweet over here says, it says, alts are going to die. Either way, look at it. Altcoins are going to die. Technical, there's an inverse head and shoulders. Fundamental, there's rate cuts easing and more liquidity. Alts will outperform, unless, of course, this time is different. So, I mean, very, very, very excited about that. But what it also means is, it also means that we don't have a lot of time, guys. We don't have a lot of time to position yourselves into the right altcoins, right? Like, you, by now, your portfolio should be the same portfolio as you intend to hold between now and the end of the cycle. And if not, then, you know, as Eric Crown says, you know, pretty much you've got another 10 days before liftoff. It's like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, then liftoff. Now, the question is, are you ready for liftoff? Are you strapped in? Do you have enough supplies? Do you have the correct supplies? Because once the rocket goes up, it's very hard to change course, to maneuver. You're sitting back and everything's shaking and you're going up and your bags are flying. You can't make changes when that happens. It's very hard to make changes. Very hard to make changes in a sane mind. In a sane mind. So now is the time to make the decisions. Now is the time to make sure that you have the right portfolio that you want until the end of the cycle. Not much time left. And when I look at my portfolio, I've got one problem in my portfolio, one big problem child in my portfolio. And that big problem child is this problem child over here, which is ETH. I don't want to be this guy. I don't want to be this guy that like, hey, what happened to him? He held ETH in 2024. Because, you know, and the reality is that I did actually look at this performance of ETH. And, you know, like he puts a vomiting emoji. I felt like I wanted to vomit. I was like, fuck, why didn't I sell my ETH when I said I was going to sell my ETH? I mean, I was going to sell my ETH a few times. I wrote this tweet where I said, this is such a hard tweet to write. I've been in an abusive relationship for over 2 years. I always think it's going to get better, but it never does. In fact, it just gets worse and worse. As hard as it is, I need to build my strength and get out once and for all and leave it all behind. I think I'm finally at that point. I couldn't have done it without you all. Thank you. And by you all, I mean you all. Wish me luck. I'm selling the last of my ETH today. Again, I didn't sell my ETH. The last time I was going to sell my ETH was just before the ETF, right? And I didn't sell it just before the ETF because the ETF caught us all by surprise. So I'd unstaked it from Eigenlayer and whatever else. I was ready to sell it. And then they announced the surprise ETF and ETH pumped. Now look, the story of me and ETH go back a long time. Like that's my entry into ETH. That's where I started to get in. It was like under $5 or under $7 or whatever it is. Very, very, very early in the game, I started to buy ETH. Look at the markets. The market's actually dumping, eh? They said October, bro. The people on Twitter said October. What happened? Scam, bro. Everyone was saying October. Wait, where's October? Anyway, we're talking about ETH now. So the reality is that I should have sold it a long time ago. Hold on. People are saying the reason for the dump. Reason for the dump. Iran preparing a ballistic missile attack against Israel. The U.S. has indications that Iran is preparing to imminently launch a ballistic missile attack Okay. I mean, that shouldn't be a big thing. Okay, but maybe it is. Maybe ballistic missiles are a big thing now. Thanks, Mr. Irishman. Thank you, sir. Anyway, let's go back to it. So the reason why I'm quite emotionally attached to my ETH, I've been around for a long time. You know, ETH was my baby. I've been in it since here. Obviously, I've sold some ETH. I've taken some profits. But essentially, I was going to sell it before the ETF, and I didn't sell it before the ETF because the ETF caught us all by surprise. And there were a lot of amazing expectations around how much money was going to flow into ETH before the ETF. The spot ETF could see $4 billion of net inflows in the first 5 months. Look, the reality is that up until now, the grand total of ETH has actually been an outflow. So up until now, there's a negative 500 outflow. So the reality is that Wall Street doesn't like this asset or doesn't know what this asset is. And that is what I read in this article over here, or what Fred Krueger says. He says, mainstream investors have rejected the ETH ETF. 3 months have gone by, net inflows are negative 500. And then there's this article that says, BlackRock exec says that new Ethereum ETF faces a narrative challenge. And it's true. ETH has a narrative challenge. And you know what really pushed me over the edge in terms of selling ETH was listening to Kyle Samani at Token 2049. Now, if you missed that talk, it is available on Token 2049's webpage. And it's called Kyle Samani, Why Sol Will Flip ETH. And I highly recommend that everyone listen to this, whether or not you like Kyle Samani or not. I know there's a lot of people who don't like Kyle Samani because he is a bit arrogant. Nothing you can do about it. You know, it happens when you get success quickly. People become arrogant. And I mean, he's a great guy, I must say. But I know a lot of people don't like him because I've been following his Twitter. Anyway, that said, when I listen to his talk, I do rate Kyle as one of the smartest guys in crypto. I don't let him say that because then he'll become more arrogant. But he is one of the smartest guys in crypto. And I listened to him talk at Token 2049, and he made some really, really, really valid points. All reaffirm exactly what I thought about ETH. But I'll go through them with you because this is my thinking. So the first point that he made is that ETH is 9 years old. It's not a startup anymore. It's a 9-year-old company or a 9-year-old protocol. You'd expect that after 9 years of being alive, number one, ETH could have resolved scaling. And number two, ETH would have product market fit, right? 9 years, guys. Like how many other platforms, companies, protocols do you know that are 9 years old, don't have a single product market fit and don't have a real scaling plan, right? In the real world, that is like a disaster. If you think about Solana is like half the age of ETH. Solana's already scaled. Solana's already talking about dApps, user adoption, talking about 1 million TPS, actually executing with FireDancer and FrankenDancer. Like, ETH 9 years old, guys. And what has ETH got after 9 years? 9 years. Well, it's got an identity crisis. Because, look, ETH's not money, right? It's certainly not DeFi. In fact, they said that it's not DeFi. It's not suitable for DeFi. It's too expensive. The gas fees are too high. It's not good for NFTs. It's not good for money. It doesn't have enough speed for money. Question is then, what is ETH? What do we need ETH for? If you want to build a very fast blockchain application, build it on Solana, build it on Sui. Build it on the main chain. Solana is now 9 years old. And in 9 years old, it doesn't even know what it actually is. To make matters worse, I mean, this is from Joe McCain. He says, overheard from a prominent investor, if ETH was a startup, there'd be no funding. Way too long to execute and no product market fit. He's just saying the quiet part out loud, which is what Kyle Samani says. He says it took 5 years for the network to launch, to commit to a scaling, from launch, to commit to a scaling plan. 5 years to pick a plan for something that you've known you needed to do since inception. It took 7 years to ship point of sale. So not only is it a 9-year-old startup, but it takes this startup very, very, very long to ship stuff. So it doesn't have real network effects because not many people are actually using ETH in the big scheme of things. Yes, in crypto, maybe ETH has a lot of users. But in the big scheme of things, ETH doesn't have any real-world applications that you need ETH for that you can't do on any other blockchain right now. ETH doesn't have that killer app. On top of that, as Carl says, there's a never-ending scaling roadmap. And the way that the never-ending scaling roadmap has kind of come to a dead end, and the dead end of the never-ending scaling roadmap is that you scale through creating multiple layer twos, right? So ETH scaling plan is not to scale, and ETH scaling plan is to secure via multiple L2s, or to scale using multiple L2s. The only problem with a multiple L2 thesis is that when you add multiple L2s onto ETH, you're not accruing any of the value on ETH because all the different layer 2s are actually accruing their own value. You think about a layer 2 as something which settles onto Ethereum only when it has to, which means that most of the transaction and most of the value accrual is actually taking place on the L2 itself. And so when you look at Base, and Kyle Samani spoke about Base, Base is making, I think, what's it, $10 million a month, big numbers, right? And the reality is that most of this value is actually being captured by the L2s, and specifically in this case, it is being captured by Base, right? And so, like, as people saying, like, while ETH is struggling with a identity crisis, Solana is actually working. It's got FireDancer, it's got FrankenDancer, it's doing 1 million TPS. It scales infinitely the more hardware or the faster hardware you add to it. And it just pretty much works. And Solana is not the only one that works. Sui is another example of something that works, maybe even Aptos. So this whole thing, the whole thing around ETH is that pretty much I don't really see a thesis for holding ETH anymore. And I've held this thesis for a while. I've just, unfortunately, because I'm human, I'm emotionally attached to my ETH bags, as I'm sure you are. And so when I wrote my ode to, and I was hoping people would push me over the edge, when I wrote my ode to Ethereum and I wrote, like, okay, I'm leaving. What I read here, I mean, you get this, okay? So I get smart people like Dan Tapiero said, it's on the verge of exploding up. Then you get Sheldon saying, send me a DM, I'll buy your Ether. Since then, he hasn't answered any of my calls. Nothing. Can't get hold of Sheldon since that day. You get your friend Somi, who says, this guy is like probably one of the most jealous guys I've ever seen. He's so quick to comment every time I do something. Meanwhile, this guy's holding Pulse, bro. How's your investment going, bro? How's your PLS going, bro? Comments about my investments. Anyway, we won't comment about him. Let's carry on. So the idea is, look, it's like ETH needs a killer app. If ETH doesn't get a killer app, then ETH, in my opinion, is going to die. And what worries me a lot is if ETH is going to get a killer app, developers need to want to develop on ETH. But right now, when I look at the VC market, a lot of people are funding projects that are being developed on Solana and on Sui. And a lot less of the investment is going into ETH. And so I think ETH has like one last chance to produce a killer app. Now, this morning, potentially one of the killer apps actually launched on ETH, and that's EigenLayer. So, I mean, for those of you who don't know what EigenLayer actually is, EigenLayer is this new concept. It's not really a new concept. It's called restaking. Essentially, what you do is you use your Ethereum, you restake your Ethereum, and other protocols use the security of Ethereum to protect their own chain. So you restake your Ethereum, and that restaked Ethereum is used to secure other networks. So as this guy says, he actually says it quite well. He says, so what is EigenLayer? EigenLayer is a protocol in Ethereum that brings in restaking. This enables the reuse of ETH on the consensus layer, making it possible for other projects to get security. So in other words, you stake your ETH. We use the staked ETH. You restake your staked ETH. And people use that to secure other networks. Now, when I say secure other networks, it means that you stake your ETH, and with proof of stake, if you approve a wrong transaction, you can get slashed. And that's why they say you're using the security of your Ethereum to secure other networks. Now, is this really the killer app for Ethereum? I don't think so, to be honest. And so even though EigenLayer promises to be, it's got 50% of the restaking market, and it's like really one of the big concepts, one of the big leaders in it. To me, when I look at EigenLayer, you know what I see? I see another token that's going to be a high FDV, low float, VC infested token. And so I agree with Sisyphus here. He says, Sisyphus, the thing the crypto market absolutely needed right now was another high FDV, low float token. That's exactly what the market needed right now at this stage of the game. And so this morning when we did our front runners call, we have a call every morning with our front runners. It's about an hour long call. I saw the price of Argon at about $4.50 and I said, you know what's going to happen here? I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen here. This is going to go down as people dump their airdrop because everybody got their airdrop. And then what's going to happen is at some point it's going to turn because the market makers are going to step in and it's going to go up. But this thing's got a market capitalization of $6 billion for a concept that hasn't even been proven to work. And so as if you look at the float on this token, okay, the float on this token is so small. Where is it? I did have it somewhere here. 6.75 from stake drop one and 5.2% from stake drop two. So in total, circulating supply at launch will be roughly 10% of the tokens, 11.95% of the tokens. All right, we know how this movie ends. It's going to go down and it's going to hit a $3 billion market cap, which is what I've said. And then people will start buying it, maybe, if this whole Ethereum narrative works. Now, the truth is, last night I actually reached out to Kyle Samani and I wanted to show him a proposal around a protocol on ETH that's capturing a lot of MEV. You know what he said? I'll read it to you, but I won't show it to you because then you'll say, I'm not keeping our conversations private. But he said, I blue ticked him. I don't believe in ETH anymore, so I'm going to respectfully decline. That's the attitude out there with some of the VCs. I'm not saying all of the VCs. Remember when Joe McCann came on the show and I asked him, are you holding any ETH? Remember what his answer was? Hell no. That's what he said. I see the research group is... Okay, someone says, he says, however, in diving deeper, the float's actually different. It doesn't matter if the float is actually 11 or 20. It doesn't matter. It's still a low float high FTV token, which is a crock of shit, basically. And what you can also see is that the people who were getting the airdrop, what are you doing with your Eigen layer? Most people are selling it to some other token. They're not even selling it to ETH. They're selling it to some other token, right? Which is exactly what I'm doing, by the way, with whatever I got. I'm developing a severe allergy to the ETH ecosystem. I kind of feel like I'm dealing with a bunch of dinosaurs. Whereas when I'm dealing with the Solana ecosystem, I feel like I'm dealing more with my kind of people, hungry, smart people that have a point to prove, not people that are here for the legacy. Now, can ETH succeed? Absolutely, it can. If a killer app actually launches on ETH. Is ETH dead? No, it isn't dead yet. It's not dead yet. But remember, we are getting into the last part of the bull market. The last 400 and something days of the bull market. And when we get into the last 400 days of the bull market, remember that the moves are going to be quick. And you want to make sure that your portfolio is optimized, right? And so... You have to be in the right tokens. And so what I said was, look, I need to find somewhere to put my ETH. End of story. I'm going to sell it. But the only reason why I haven't sold it yet is because where the hell do I put the money? You know, I mean, look, ideally, I should have probably put it into Bitcoin. I have way too much Bitcoin as a percentage of my portfolio. Over 25% of my portfolio is in Bitcoin right now. Okay, then let's put in Sol. I've got a lot of Sol. And I've got a lot of Sol as well. But mainly, I've got a lot of soul, right? And I have a lot of soul. So, you don't get it, hey, Josh? You get me, bro. I'm just checking. Let me know if you got a lot of soul and if you got a lot of soul in the chat. So, question is, where do I put the ETH? I can't put it into Bitcoin. I can't put it into ETH. Because ETH is ETH and ETH is my X. Can't put it into Solana because I have too much Solana. All right, so maybe I should put it into Sui. I mean, Sui is a good call. Sui has been touted as the Solana of this cycle. It's making all the right moves. It's got the right bridges. It's got, you know, people talking about it as the Solana of a cycle. People are showing the fractal. People are saying that, you know, Sui has, number one, the language is very, very good. The move language is very, very good. And that I agree with. Sui's making all the right noises. It's got USDC stablecoin on it. And I have a very big bag of Sui at the moment. But. The problem is that, number one, I have a lot of Sui. But number two, the risk profile of Sui versus the risk profile of ETH is very, very, very different. It changes the dynamics of my entire portfolio. Okay, so then let's look at all what the other options are. So I made a spreadsheet because I know you guys love spreadsheets. You love spreadsheets because that's us doing the work for you. So Bitcoin, no, can't do it in Bitcoin. Why? Have too much Bitcoin. Can't do Sol because to have too much Sol. And I have too much Sol as well. So it's not Bitcoin and it's not Sol. Sui, as I've said, it's not Sui because Sui increases the risk profile of my portfolio. Okay, cool. What about Arweave? Love Arweave. But again, I have a lot of Arweave in my portfolio. And if I buy Arweave, then I'm being irresponsible with my portfolio. And so it's not going to be Arweave. I'm looking for something that is going to give me good returns, not crazy returns, without taking crazy risk. So you may turn around and say, okay, what about if you put your money into ThorChain or into Rune? Great idea. That's actually something which I love. Why? Tried and tested protocol, great roadmap, great usage, great tokenomics. The only problem that I have with Rune is this. When I look at the chart of Rune, Rune is extremely, extremely reflexive to market movements. Ridiculously reflexive. Just look at this. It started the year at 37 cents in 2020. It went all the way up to $21. In the bear market, it went all the way back down in this bear market, it went all the way down to $1.32. Okay, now, the reason why I don't like Rune, and I do love it, I've got a big position in Rune, is Rune is super, super, super reflexive to market movements. And you can see it from this cycle as well. From the 4th of March, Rune was at 11.49, and at its low, Rune got to $2.50. This token, as good as this token is, the swings in this token are way, way, way too high. Ridiculously way, way, way too high. Okay, cool. What about Phantom? Phantom, ThorChain, and Near Protocol have exactly the same problem. They are amazing token, but they're highly, highly, highly leveraged to the market. So let me show you Phantom. Phantom went up to $3 in the last cycle. And then at the low, Phantom went down to 16 cents. Okay, I don't have it in me to take my safe asset called ETH, okay, and to put it into something. This is a great token, but it's highly, highly, highly reflexive to market movements. Just look at Phantom's moves in this cycle. It went to $1.24. In the low, it went back to 25 cents. Okay, now you got to have big kahunas to hold that swing. Like, you got to have balls made of steel. And I don't, like, right now I'm kind of sleeping at night with my ETH. Well, I'm not really sleeping at night because it just goes down and down and down. Okay, so Near has exactly the same problem. Look at how reflexive is Near to the bull market. Look at this. It went up to $20, but then it went all the way back to 95 cents. I just don't have it in me. I just don't have it in me to hold a token like that. Okay, cool. So we remove those three. What about Chainlink? I mean, Chainlink's a good option. Chainlink is a real-world asset protocol. It's one of the most fundamental protocols in crypto. Let's quickly see how reflexive it actually is. By reflexive, I mean, how much does it move up and down with the bull market? So in this cycle, it went from, say, $6 at the low or $5 at the low up to $20 and now back down to $10. Not bad. Not bad. This is actually looking like it's okay. But you know what the problem is for me with Chainlink? I think it's been replaced by a better competitor. Just like Solana was replaced by ETH. Sorry, ETH was replaced by Solana. I think that Chainlink has been replaced by Pyth. I think Pyth is the replacement. All right, so what about Pyth? This one is an option. This one is definitely an option. The risk is high, but to be honest, this one is probably the most likely option of what I'm going to do. Let's carry on. What about Casper? I mean, Casper's great. It's just that the valuation of Casper is really, really high. I'd put some of my money into Casper, but it's not the same risk profile as ETH. All right, so what about a Bitcoin layer too? What about, like, maybe going to something like Stacks? I like Stacks. Stacks moves up a lot when Bitcoin moves up, and Stacks move down a lot when Bitcoin moves down. The only problem with Stacks is Stacks has been like a one token, one of one token, right? Why? Because it's the only Bitcoin layer two with the token that is like a bona fide layer two. But remember that there's a lot of other protocols that are coming onto the market. There's Build on Bitcoin. There is a BitLayer, which is coming onto the market. All these tokens are coming onto the market as an L2. So this increases my risk profile by quite a bit. And so we narrow it down to like maybe Casper and maybe Pyth, and both of them have a much higher risk tolerance. So because they have a much higher risk tolerance, I don't know if this is the optimal thing. But then I think about something else. And I say, hold on a second. If ETH works, the only reason why ETH works is going to be because of the layer twos. And if you look at the layer twos, the layer two that has the most chance of success in the ETH ecosystem, Base. I mean, you've got to admit, Base is taking Coinbase's 100 million plus users, moving them frictionlessly onto DeFi, taking the Coinbase wrapped BTC, where I had a little thing that I wanted to show you about. You take the Coinbase-based BTC and you move them, wrapped BTC, and you move them onto the Base network. If ETH is going to succeed, ETH is not going to succeed. It's going to succeed because the layer two succeeded. And the layer two that has the highest chance of success is Base. Okay, hold on a second. We might be onto something here. If Base is the one that's going to succeed, who is going to be the biggest custodian of the wins on Base? Well, it's Coinbase. So hold on a second. Maybe the best thing to do with my ETH, which is effectively a proxy for the movement in the crypto markets, a leverage movement in the crypto markets, maybe the best use for that money is to just put it into Coinbase. Because if I'm getting into Coinbase, I'm number one, getting exposure to the entire crypto market. Crypto pumps, Coinbase pumps. Crypto pumps in the United States, Coinbase pumps. Crypto pumps or Base pumps, ETH will pump, but Coinbase will pump more because Coinbase is actually a bigger custodian than ETH is if Base pumps. So to me, it seems like the smartest thing to do with my ETH is actually to sell my ETH and to just take the same money and put the same money into Coinbase. And I mean, let's just look at the Coinbase chart. Let's just look at how reflexive this chart actually is. Okay, so I mean, let's ignore this is the 281 to a low of 140. So there's a 50% pullback on the dips. I don't know. To me, this sounds like a great risk return. Now, I know it's thinking out of the box. I know it's like, well, we had to watch a crypto show. Why, bro, why are you showing us Coinbase? Because I think Coinbase is actually one of the smartest plays to get risk return. Someone says, wait, then what about Aero? I've got a position in Aero, but I can't take ETH and take a layer one and put it into one DEX. And I have got Aero. Aerodrome is good. I mean, look, why don't you give me some more suggestions and I'll tell you what I think of your suggestions. Someone says, my tokens were stolen while they were on Coinbase. Sorry to hear that, bro. That's why you shouldn't put your tokens on Coinbase. You should click the link below, get yourself a ledger, one of these fancy ledgers, and you could get actually two. And that people won't steal your tokens. Cardano. Okay, can someone block Shinobi from this chat? He said Cardano. I mean, Cardano, bro. Wait, does Cardano have smart contracts yet? Didn't think so. ICP is good, but again, the risk profile is much higher. You can't say baked. Come on. I mean, layer zero, good idea. You can't say baked. You can't say baked because baked is a meme coin. You can't. Baked is running. Remember, we have got a spaces on baked, which starts just after the show. Just after the show, we have in an hour, there's a spaces that starts on baked on the baked Twitter. Also, just remember, if you want to be part of our research team, what you need to do is there is a link below. Here, I'll show you where the link is because I know some of you, let's see. Josh, were you looking at George's channel? Were you trying to steal his thumbnails? Were you trying to steal George's thumbnails, bro? It's inspiring. So if you want to work with us, if you want to be one of our researchers, they help us put these amazing shows together. If you're obsessed with crypto, if all you can think about is finding alpha and telling people about the alpha, then apply to be a researcher. You click here. When you click here, this form comes up. Now, you have to answer all these questions, right? Don't cheat and use don't use ChatGPT. If you do, you'll get caught out. You will get caught out. Anyway, I see someone here wanted to be a researcher, and then I said, just DM me on Twitter. Let's just see. Let's see where is this cat? His name is Will J. Kopp. He says, Ryan, I heard you need a researcher. Can I start right away? I said, if you're serious, fill in the form. Filled in and sent last Friday. I want to be a part of the Banter 2 million plus. Okay, let's hope that he gets in. Anyway, that's the story. I'm also reminding you of a couple more things before we go. Number one, the World Series of Trading Competition on Bybit starts tomorrow. Tomorrow, there's $10 million up for grabs. If you're not already signed up, sign up as soon as possible. Number two, there's a Baked Spaces happening later on today. Number three, on Monday, we start the Bitfunder Challenge, which is where you trade with other people's money. Go and check it out, bitfunder.com. This is a platform which allows you to trade with other people's money. So you trade, if you're a good trader, we give you the money. If you get 8% in the first round and 5% in the second round, you trade with other people's money and you keep 95% or 90% of the winnings, basically. So it's probably the best way to get exposure. Anyway, I will see you guys tomorrow. Hopefully by then, I will tell you exactly what I traded my ETH into. Until then, trade well, my friends.